Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're down to the Elite Eight. I don't know if they call it the Elite Eight. It's the knockout round. There are eight teams left. And Glenn Davis, the preeminent source of soccer talk here in the city of Houston, just the smartest damn guy. And we've got him on our show. Often this World Cup, and he will be with us throughout the 2026 when we're hosting as well. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, joining us once again here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What up, Glenn?
John, Lance, good morning. Man, what a day of drama yesterday.
So what do you think? Okay, so what do you think about going forward with Cristiano Ronaldo? How does this work out now for him? Is he relegated to the bench now from here on out?
Well, it's a fascinating development. It's like a soap opera, as you guys know. Look, I think it's pretty clear. We know he's a declining superstar. I know the fanboys are not going to want to accept that, but he is. And it was proven out yesterday again. It's been proven out at Manchester United, where he can't play in a pressing system. He's just not as mobile anymore. And this is a tough reality, and I can't even begin to put myself in his shoes. But will he accept the role of being somebody potentially off the bench? Because the kid who comes in and subs in for him is 21 years old. He's far more mobile. He's good in the air. He finishes with either foot, and he fits into a pressing style of play. And it made Portugal look like a completely different team. So I really credit Fernando Santos, the manager, for benching Ronaldo, because you know there are people there to see him as a celebrity sometimes and don't measure that with the soccer part of it.
Yeah.
Ronaldo Santos wants to win a World Cup, right? So
yeah.
Will Ronaldo accept a role as maybe being a guy that comes off a bench later in the game when people are fatigued? I don't know, because apparently he didn't want to train with the reserves today.
Yeah, he didn't want to train with the reserves, had an issue with being subbed out, has... We saw what he did with Man U, the way he got himself forced out. I mean, what a bad... And now he's about to take $200 million from the Saudis, which is just an absolute slap in the face in many ways. But
it's almost like wrestling. He's gone from the good guy to the bad guy.
Total heel. I mean, this has been terrible run over the last 2 months for Cristiano Ronaldo from a personal standpoint, I think. And it really kind of displays some character flaws, potentially.
Well, yeah, I think the emperor's clothes are off, and you know, we all look at people that are celebrity and superstar athletes, and listen, they're carefully measured with the way they're presented to the public. They got legions of people doing their social media. I just think it's sad. I think it's really sad, and his legacy is being tarnished. The game ends, all the Portuguese players. I mean, this is a stunning victory, 6-1 over Switzerland. This was supposed to be a closer game. Portugal fans now are thinking, man, we have a chance at winning our first ever World Cup, getting into that rarefied air. The whole team goes over to salute the fans, and Ronaldo goes down the tunnel and leaves them. So, you know, this is a problem for a manager. You really got to give it to Fernando Santos for making a bold decision, because I'm sure he had to go to the Portuguese Federation and say, hey, this is what I'm planning on doing. You better be prepared.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. So they looked unbelievable. They look so good. France has looked great. Obviously, Brazil. I mean, how are you handicapping the final eight here?
So, if we look at the final eight teams, guys, you know, back to some of our conversations that you led me into earlier in the week, and again, I really appreciate you bringing me on, courtesy of the Daspit Law Firm. You know, if you look at these teams, we see that all of these teams have finishers, pretty much. Right? Except maybe not Morocco. Morocco's going about it in a different way. Every single team has a finisher. I think Brazil-Croatia on Friday, Brazil's coming in incredibly rested. Their navigation of the tournament the best. Neymar's back. They are a better team with Neymar. I don't care what anybody says. Croatia's aging. They had to go to PKs to beat Japan. So you got to pick Brazil there. Netherlands-Argentina, that's a bit of a push maybe. Slight edge to Argentina simply because of Messi, who's got three. That's a great game. That's a replay of the World Cup. Saturday, you got Morocco-Portugal. Morocco is as stout as can be defensively. I mean, they are organized. They only conceded one shot to Spain and one on penalty kicks, knocked Spain out. Portugal's on fire now with Ramos now, the 21-year-old. And then England, France, two teams that can kill you in transition with explosive players and great goal scorers like Kylian Mbappe and Harry Kane. So, man, these are great matchups. I think the only outlier here really is Morocco.
Well, it's the outlier, but as you said, they're very good on one side. It's just it's hard to believe the way how creative Portugal was and how strongly they were attacking. It's just hard to believe that they're going to be able to keep them off the board like they did Spain. And isn't this a message to Spain with the way that Spain plays? Yeah. You look at the difference between Spain and Portugal and the way that they attacked or didn't attack. Doesn't Spain have to become? I know Landon Donovan made some good points during the match at some point. Like, you know, you've got to push the ball forward and play more vertically as opposed to playing, you know, the way that they played everything short. When they really tried to go after the, you know, back post on some of the set pieces and they really tried to get up in the air. And I just, what's the rationale behind that, Glenn, for a talented team like Spain playing the way that they do?
Well, it's a hard game to score goals, and even for Spain, when you go up against the highly organized Morocco. Morocco goes about it in a really different way. They really know exactly how they're playing. In fact, they had the better chances in the game on the counterattack and in overtime. But look, you know, the trend in this World Cup is you got to get around people wide. You got to hit these teams in transition. They were so good at getting back behind the ball. They're going about it in a really different way. In a 4-3-3, these teams are defending really narrow. They're not giving you a lot of room to go central and straight at a goal. And you got to go around them. You got to have a good wide game. You got to have individuals that can create themselves. You thought Spain had them. I don't think Spain, for me, was ever in the category of the Brazil, you know, and the Frances in this tournament. They were, you know, they were in the category below that, potentially winning the World Cup. They're still young. Pedri, Gavri, these are young guys. They got absolutely stoned by Morocco. They couldn't figure it out. And this is not going to be easy for Portugal at all if these guys can produce another effort like that. They are highly organized, Morocco. They're going about it in a different way, defending deep and not conceding space.
Does one win it for Portugal? One goal, rather?
Yeah, that's the kind of game it's likely going to be. It's going to be a singular moment. And, you know, you guys know, you know, the U.S., from a standpoint of mental focus and you know, in a game, concentration, I mean, they got caught on all three goals. And the three guys that got caught on these three goals were the guys that we were just lauding for being outstanding in the first three games in group play.
Under over 2.5 goals in England, France.
Under over 2.5 goals. Now, there's going to be goals in that game. I'm saying over. There's going to be goals.
Both teams
just too much attacking talent on the field.
Yeah, there's too much talent up front.
Too much. Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele. These guys fly in transition. I see this will at some point get really up and down, and I think. Yeah, for sure there's going to be goals.
Yeah, you know, the U.S. midfield matched up so well against England. I'm just kind of wondering how they're going to handle France. This is going to be – they've got to change some tactically. Do you think they become more defensive-oriented in their matchup against France simply because of Mbappe's speed on the flank?
Well, both of them like the transition game, so I think it's a good tactical matchup between Southgate and Deschamps. You know, because both can break out so quickly. You know, so I think they'll be taking turns of, you know, kind of who's in possession and who's higher up the field. But those moments where a team is caught committed forward a little bit, man, these teams are just so good at recognizing that. and getting the ball to their skilled, explosive players. That game is going to be an amazing game.
You watching it somewhere, by the way?
You know, I'm still thinking about what I'm going to do. I'm not sure where I'm going to. It's either at a Cobos or a Hugh O'Connor's or a Knicks. It's definitely going to be sponsors. At a place where if I go out, it's going to be at a place that is putting dollars behind soccer. That's my motto.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Somebody who does your show.
No, I'm serious. I really think people that if they love the game and you recognize that there are people putting money into the sport and it's your game and you got a choice, support your sponsors. I mean, this is, you love the game. This is the way to do it.
Well, I'm telling you, like at Nick's place, every Saturday morning, he's got people going in there and
is
watching.
Is he at home of any of the Wolfram? Teams? No, Wolverhampton. That's right. Wolverhampton. The Wolves are over there.
That's the Wolves. Yeah, I know those guys. Paul LePage. Those are great guys. That's the nicest supporters group. So Nick doesn't ever have to worry about his place getting torn.
On a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock? No.
Glenn, do you have any pull with Arsenal or Chelsea? Because I'm going to be in London after Christmas, after Boxing Day when we're back, and I got to try to get tickets to go to my first international, my first Premier League match. I'm so pumped up. And
that's awesome. Good for you. Let's talk off air on that one. I may have an idea. By the way, Gabriel Jesus, their great forward for Brazil, got injured at knee surgery, and Arsenal's going to be missing him for a few months, which is sad.
If I gave you a goal and a half, would you take Croatia?
If you gave me a goal and a half, would I take Croatia? As much as I have respect for Croatia and, like, these great players, Luka Modric, Brozovic, Kramaric, I would not take it against Brazil.
A lot of itches, John.
A lot of itches over there in Croatia. No.
Yeah. You got to listen. The Croatians they're incredible soccer players. People were, talking about them, the way they hung in there against Japan. I just don't think they have enough in the tank now. Brazil, as you guys have seen, they changed their entire team out in their group, last group game. So they're coming in rested. They're coming in navigating this thing perfectly. They're healthy. They recovered Neymar from the ankle injury. And let's face it, they're a different team when Neymar's out there.
Big Croatian population in Chicago. We used to go to the Moji Feast every year.
Polish.
Yeah. The Moji
Polish
Feast,
too,
was,
right?
It was huge. Huge in Chicago. Then Argentina and the Netherlands. You like, will Messi score?
Oh, man. Well, if Argentina's going to advance, he will. Or he'll be the man who creates it. Let's see what the Dutch come up with. They were smart tactically against the U.S., we're going to find out if Argentina is for real. I mean, this isn't Australia. With all due respect to Australia, they were game. This is the Netherlands. Much like we learned playing the Netherlands, this is a clinical team, too. They've got finishers like Memphis and Gakpo, the young guy. So, yeah, this is going to be an amazing game. I think Argentina will have a lot of the ball in this.
Absolutely. That is Glenn Davis right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've got on the 18th is the final. So we've got still the quarterfinal matches coming up on the 13th and the 14th. So we got more with Glenn Davis coming your way here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What a great time, the Elite Eight of the World Cup. And we're watching this weekend, Glenn. This is going to be fun. And we will talk to you again next week. Let's do it again next week.
Guys, you're the best. I can't thank you enough for letting me come on your show and courtesy of John Daspit, but I can't thank you enough. You guys have been great. It's been so much fun knowing I'm coming on at 8 a.m. to talk World Cup with you guys. It's
great
awesome.
Stuff.
And our station also deserves a lot of credit for the support of the greatest sporting event in the world, the World Cup.
Yeah, no. I don't think anybody else is. I'm certainly not delving. Well, nobody else has Glenn Davis on their station. That's the difference. We got the Messi. We got the Messi of soccer talk right here.
And that'll be the only time I'm ever in a sentence with Messi.
Messi. No. Well, you played a lot like him, as I understand it.
No. It was a little
different
bit positions. Different.
It's all
right. It was only slightly different.
All right, Glenn, we appreciate it. 8:15 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 right here, ESPN. Let's talk a little FOCO.
Well, so FOCO, you can go FOCO.com. So what FOCO is, you're saying, what is FOCO? Well, FOCO is the company right now that has some of the coolest Astros-inspired Christmas presents that you're going to find anywhere. Really, really cool. They're licensed. They're officially licensed by Major League Baseball and the Players Association, which means the best Astros players and team gear is just a few clicks away for you. There are plenty of products to choose from as well. Collectibles like Big Head bobbleheads, where you've got, let's see, you've got Bregman and Yuli and Yordan, Altuve, Jeremy Pena. How about Kyle Tucker? You've got them holding championship trophies. Yeah, these are the cool bobbleheads you can do with home or away jerseys. You can design unique bobbleheads. They've got Christmas ornaments, hats, pajamas, footwear, and much, much more to put smiles on the faces of people, whether they're stocking stuffers or presents you want to give, maybe at the office, or maybe you've got an Astros fan who doesn't live in Houston who lives their lives vicariously through Astros games. Give them one of these gifts from FOCO.com/975. FOCO.com/975. They also have Texans, Rockets, Dynamo, UT, Texas A&M, and many, many more. So no matter what team you cheer for, there's a chance they're going to have that available for you. This makes a great Christmas present. They've got their 12 days of Christmas sale coming up. So right now, take advantage by going to FOCO.com/975.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.